Hallelujah. Praise your name, O God. Amen. Hey, before you're seated, there's a lot that God wanted to do today, and He's already done it. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes you go to church, and I mean, even in the midst of just the song service, God already addresses your need. God already knows exactly where your heart is, and He just touches you. I mean, He's just there to do that. But there's some of you here that, you know, you're on some of our prayer list, and there's some things that are going on in your life, and you really need the body of Christ to rally around you today. I'm going to ask the guys to bring the lights up in just for a few seconds. It's amazing what God can do in a few seconds. Sometimes we try to do it, and it takes us years. So guys, bring the lights up. If you have a need in your life today, while we're standing, would you mind just raise your hand? I'm going to ask the people that are around you just to move close to you. We're not going to invade your privacy. We're not going to interview you. We're just going to move real quick right now, guys. Just go ahead and move. And begin praying for them as we pray a general prayer for God to just touch them. There's people today, Lord, they need healing. There's some people today that they really need to be encouraged. There's some people today that really have some big decisions that are looming on the horizon. And we just need to know that the church is with us. But this isn't about people being with us. This is about God being with us. And He does it through us. I marvel how God uses human flesh to minister to human flesh. He asks us to be the vessels of His ministry. And that's why we pray for each other like this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray in just a few seconds. Because, man, eternity is not being able to be measured. But in a few seconds here on earth, Lord, You can change everything. It can go from day to night, night to day. It can go from bad to good. It can go from discouraged to very, very encouraged. And today, Father, I pray that we'll find that hope that we're looking for. We'll find that courage that has been eluding us. We pray for the strength that we wish we had. God, for the solution that has always been overridden by the problem. Today, Father, we just pray right now that You will minister to all of these needs. Father, You know everything. We don't. We're not here to find out the story. We're just here to be an extension of Jesus Christ, whose story trumps all of our stories. Takes care of everything in our life. So I pray right now, Lord, that we would just receive that. This isn't magic words. This isn't a bunch of church gymnastics. This is us just reaching out to our God. It's like Jen said, praying a prayer of boldness. Instead of just being backed into the corner, Lord, we're getting ahead of the curve and asking You to be the God that You have always said that You would be. So I pray that, Father, for everyone in this place today, everybody in this place right now, and especially those that have raised their hands. And I pray Your blessing on them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you think that's a pretty cool thing, would you give Him a round of applause one more time? Amen. Amen. Okay. You may be seated. I don't know if there's supposed to be an ambush moment up here with these candy canes or whatever. Is this like, okay, there's only like 5 months and 23 days of shopping before Christmas? I have no idea. John, I'm going to bless you with those. I have no idea where they came from. There we go. Thank you for taking them with you. Hey, a little congratulations before I get into my message today. Miss Diane Wareheim just had a birthday. Happy birthday, Diane Wareheim. And the Skimbos became grandparents again. Way to go, Val and Lauren. You're incredible. I know you don't know who these people are, but thanks for clapping for them anyway. That's pretty cool. Hey, I want to speak on Happy Is He today, which is kind of a crazy way of introducing this, but you'll understand it in just a second. But that word happy is a word that we really enjoy, don't we? I like being happy. I don't know anybody that really enjoys being sad. I like being happy. I like having a smile on my face. I like seeing people that I know are happy. You know, it doesn't matter if there's a smile or not, but if you just know that's the kind of circumstance. It's a disarming type situation when you see somebody that you know that they are happy. And it doesn't have to be a surprise birthday party or any of those things like that. It's just really cool to be happy. So as we speak of that, I want to take you to Proverbs 16, chapter verse 20. For the Bible says, "Whosoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he." Whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. And that's where I got the title for my message today. So let me ask you something. When was the last time you were really happy? I mean, truly happy. Now listen, I understand things happen. You know, I mean, cars break, air conditioners go out. We got one over here in the Family Life Center. So, you know, hey, we're not exempt for all of this stuff, even as a church. We know people have, you know, scraps and scrapes and, you know, bumps and bruises and stuff like this. Okay, so Wednesday night, we're trying to do this fireworks thing. So I'm going out here across the playground to check with the guys on what's going on. I trip over one of those mats that the kids land on. Evidently, everybody saw it. Everybody's been asking me, are you okay? I'm going, what are you talking about? I wiped out just miserably. I thought it was dark, but evidently not dark enough. Not one of the happier moments of my life. A little embarrassing, quite honestly, when people are interviewing me on all of this. But happy is a really cool thing. When was the last time you had a really good laugh? And I'm not talking about that we superficially replace the cares of life with this superficial sense of giddiness, if you will. It's not about escaping into a sitcom and laughing a little bit, but then waking up at the end of this whole thing and we're going right back to our sadness. But the truth of the matter is, some of us would be really difficult to go back and remind ourselves, when was the last time we really, really enjoyed ourselves? And if you think this is separate from God, you're fooling yourselves. God really, really wants His people to be happy. I can promise you that. Now, God will take you through some storms. God will take you through some circumstances to do some things in you. You will be tested. You will be tried. We understand that. But God wants you ultimately to be happy, and that's why we want to do on this. Some of us aren't enjoying life at all. We really aren't. It's been a long time since that. We're just living. Don't you hate that feeling? I just get up every day, put my clothes on, go to work, go to school, whatever, and I'm just living. That's not what God died for. That's not the life I find in John the 10th chapter, verse 10. I'm going to go there a little bit where it says, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. I didn't come so you just have to make it through the day and muddle by and see what you can get through, but to give us abundant life. I believe God wants us to be happy. I believe He wants us to be content. I think He wants us to be happy with the circumstances that we are. And I believe that God has a plan for you. You know why I know that? Because when you see this word happy, and this is the Proverbs, this is the Old Testament, it's written in the Hebrew. And in the Hebrew, that word happy means blessed. It means blessed. So anytime you think of it as happy, you need to think of it also as blessed, because that's what the root word in the Hebrew means. Here's the cool thing about that. You can be happy because of circumstances. You can only be blessed because of the Lord. You need to just pitch a tent right there and sit on that just for a second. You can be happy because you saw something humorous. You saw Pastor Dave wipe out and you thought that was funny, okay? Whatever. You know, you can see the Three Stooges and think that's funny. A lot of you don't even know what the Three Stooges is. That is so awesome. Google it and good luck. Anyway, you can do these things that make you laugh or whatever, just like we did just a second ago. But it doesn't meet the need of your heart. When you are blessed, it only comes from God. God is the only one that can really, really bless you. Unfortunately, I also believe that Satan has a plan for your life. Listen, I want to say this very, very, in the greatest loving way possible. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, if you don't have the hope of when you die, you go to heaven, guess what? Satan's already won. Because his goal is to separate you eternally from God. It's called eternal damnation. The reason he doesn't like you, even though you didn't know it, is because God shaped you and formed you in his own image. You were one of his greatest ideas. I don't care what you say about yourself when you look in the mirror. God says, that's one of my greatest ideas. Look what I did. This is so cool. But Satan doesn't like you, and he hates you, and he doesn't want you to do anything good. But for the Christian, his plan is to destroy your life. When you get this wonderful revelation that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you invite him into your life and you have your sins forgiven and he fills you with the abundant life and he fills you with the Holy Spirit, Satan gets extremely jealous about that and he wants to destroy your life. How encouraging! I have this enemy. I didn't know that. When I first got saved, I mean, you know, I was bad enough on my own. Then I got saved and it was really awesome. And then I realized that Satan hated my guts. The reason I didn't know that earlier is because he didn't have to hate me. I was helping him. I was doing the kind of life that really, you know, he wanted me to live anyway. So I was destroying myself, but then I got filled with God, if you will, and that really upset him. Next thing you know, I find out I got this enemy, and his name is Satan. And one of his greatest, greatest gifts, or I should say weapons, is sin in all of its various forms. He loves to come at us with all of these weapons. But with God, don't you love that phrase? But with God. It changes everything. You know, if somebody says, but with the weather, what is your focus on? Your focus is on the weather. It's too hot. It's too humid. I don't like this time of year. I'll do the same thing for you in December as you're feeling this way in July. All this other stuff. But with my job, it takes you all to this job. But when you say, but with God, the focus of that phrase is God. It changes everything. I love it. Now, I know you hate it when preachers do this. Mom asks you to repeat that. Just say those three words, but with God. Ready? But with God. Because a lot of times, the reason we're not happy is life has drained us from this focus or this even possibility that God is even a part of what's going on. We're too busy with the heat. We're too busy with the economy. We're too busy trying to do good at work. We're too busy trying to put food on the table. And God has been excluded because of all of these things. And Satan doesn't like us. He hates us. He's got all these weapons. But with God, everything changes. Isaiah, the 54th chapter, verse 17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is God talking through Isaiah. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. Nothing Satan throws at you, even his greatest weapon, will prosper. Sometimes we forget that too. That ought to make you happy right there. That doesn't mean you giggle. Doesn't mean you break out in laughter. But man, that makes me pretty happy to know that God has already proclaimed that any weapon that Satan forms against me is not going to prosper. Bring it on, Satan. And listen, I don't get up every morning going, okay, Satan, come on. Are you kidding me? I don't do that. What do I have against Satan? I have Jesus Christ in me. Jesus Christ is the one who can defeat Satan, not me. Every time that I've gotten out there trying to be bold, think I've got enough of myself and I'm full enough of God of my own, I always fall on my face and prove it. But with Jesus in my life, all things are possible. I also believe that God wants us to be happy now. Not eventually. Not sooner or later. But I think He wants us to be happy now. A lot of us have denied that because of circumstances in your life. Situations that have come up. You just don't think God loves you enough to let you be happy. Or that you're not good enough to be happy. We love to play that game. I know where I've been. I know what a screw up I've been. I know all the bonehead things I've done. I know what a jerk I've been. All of those things. But you know what? God says, listen, I've forgiven you. And you know, through forgiveness, you know what I'm going to grant you? I'm going to grant you to be blessed. I'm going to grant you to be happy. I'm going to tell you what, in the middle of that worship set that we had, that was pretty cool, wasn't it? Were you worried about all of the problems of life? Somehow that gave you the opportunity to focus on God in such a way because the Spirit led you there. And even though you may have remembered the circumstances you are facing, God took you to a whole different place. But happiness is not seasonal. It doesn't happen just whenever things happen, but it is conditional. You see, if I'm in sin, if I have a bitterness in my life, it's almost impossible to be happy. But even though I'm sick or I'm broke, don't have a dime to my name, I can still be happy. Because it's not the circumstances of that situation like that. So, personally, if I had a wish list for all of you, it would be that today, if you have lost your joy, if you will, if you're not happy, that God would restore that to you. I'll just be right out honest with you. I hope that today you leave here happy with God, happy with yourself, and that God places happiness in you. Because you know what? Here's the cool thing. Happiness is contagious. It's contagious, man. When you get around somebody that's happy, it tends to kind of bleed off on you. But guess what? So is discouragement. So is bitterness. These things are contagious. So you know what? Let's just pick and choose the things that we want to be. If I want to be happy, let's head that direction. Listen, let me give you a couple of key scriptures real quick. Psalms 144:15 says, happy are the people whose God is in the Lord. You can trust in a lot of things. And you know what? New cars make me happy. Don't they make you happy? I can't remember the last time I had that kind of happiness, but that's kind of happy, you know. New clothes, they kind of make you a little happy, that type of thing. New dessert, woohoo! You know, God gives all kinds of stuff, make you happy, all right? But this is talking about happiness that's in the Lord, something that will stay with you forever. And it's for the happiness for your soul and not just your taste buds. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. You know what? It's God's will for you to be happy. Let me put it this way. It's God's will for you to be able to, want to, and desire to rejoice. To rejoice. I don't know why, but we've always restricted rejoicing to just church. That's just what you do in church. You know, it's when we raise our hands, say amen, hallelujah, and we use church words. It has to be a church setting. Can I just tell you, you just need to rejoice when God just makes you happy, because that's what God did. Why do we restrict things to the church like this? The same thing is true with our life and our happiness. We only allow ourselves to be happy when it's something that's truly, truly God. There's no way that I could be happy because God loves me that much. What a lie from the pit. You see, Satan is not only the one who wants to destroy your life, he always uses lies to get there. And we have to be careful what he says about us being happy. Let me take you down the road of how to be happy, okay? Now listen, I didn't write a book on this. This isn't perfect, but this is going to help you a whole lot. The first thing is that when you decide to be happy, did you know that happiness is a choice? You have to choose to be happy. You really do. You have to choose to be content. You have to choose that this circumstance is going to work out. We have choices. And every time something faces you, you can either accept it and turn it into something good, or you can look at it and turn it into something bad. Now, I'm going to be careful how I say this, because I'm sure you know some people like that. Thank God they're not here today. But there are some people, the minute they hear something, they turn it negative. The minute, you know, and some of it's kind of like this. Oh, hi, what a pretty dress you have today. Oh, this thing. Are you kidding me? Wow, that was a really good lesson you had today. Sunday school teacher? Okay, it's just something, you know, whatever. We always turn it into a downer instead of an upper. Oh my gosh, somebody needs to just come around the corner and slap us in the face when that happens. Because too many times, it's the exterior things that decide how we feel on the inside. Many of our decisions are made for other circumstances. Let me take you to Acts, the 16th chapter. I love this story. It's this guy named Paul and Silas. If you've never known about Paul and Silas, Paul was this incredible apostle for the Lord Jesus Christ. Silas is his missionary partner. They are traveling. They are in this one city. They're in this marketplace. And as they are ministering and talking about God, there was this girl. And because of a demon, she was able to tell fortunes. And all these people made this money off of her ability to do that. She kept following Paul and just driving him crazy. And finally, Paul had enough of it one day, and he turned around and he said, "Hey, you know what? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Shut up." He really didn't say that, but that's kind of what happened, all right? You know, so they found out that they couldn't make any money off this girl anymore. So here it goes. Verse 19 says, "They seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans to receive or to observe.' Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison, fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were closed." So here you go. They were doing God's will. They were living for God, doing the right thing. So guess what happened next? Remember I told you, even though God wants you to be happy, there'll be some trials. They were arrested. They had the living daylights beat out of them. They were put into prison. Their feet were put in stocks, but at midnight, remember midnight? Been there, hadn't you? I don't know why, but midnight is not about 12 o'clock at night. It's about when it's so dark, you just don't see any light. It's when things are so devastating, you don't know where you're going to turn next. It's when the news is not good. And your circumstance, your physical circumstance, you look around you and you go, "I don't know where there's any hope in this circumstance." But guess what Paul and Silas were doing at midnight? The Bible says that they were praying and singing, for crying out loud. And here they are, they probably haven't even healed up on their wounds. They're probably bleeding against the wall that they're leaning to. Their hand and their feet are put in stocks. And I just think it was very difficult. But you know what? They made a decision. Let's sing. Can you imagine that? Out of the middle of incredible, overwhelming circumstance, they said, you know what? Our choice is singing. Because for some reason, praising God was a greater priority to them than the pain that they were experiencing in their bodies. Stop and think about that just for a second. Praising our Lord and our Savior is a greater priority than the pain, the devastation, the empty pocketbook, the doctor's report. That's called a decision, ladies and gentlemen. You don't get there because the circumstances say, oh, let's sing. No, you choose to sing. They decided to sing. But then also there's these wonderful times when the presence of God gives you permission to rejoice, permission to be joyful. We have it in church services like this. We had it just a moment ago with the song service. It's amazing how God does this. We have it at funerals. Really, Pastor? A funeral? Well, my wife is a nurse practitioner at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. She's at work today. But yesterday, we drove to Oklahoma City. A good friend of hers that she works with, Stephanie Moore, her mother passed away. And we went to go and just support the family. And we walked in, and everybody on the stage was wearing purple because that was her mother's favorite color. They had her homemade recipe for some kind of cheesecake in the bulletin, the folder for the funeral. And everybody was singing. We sang these songs, and we had the audacity to stand on our feet and clap during the songs. You know why? Because we were celebrating the fact that she was in heaven. At a funeral, God gave us permission to rejoice because the greater reality is that her life was secure in God's hands, and she was in heaven, even though there were grandkids and kids and friends and relatives that were devastated by her loss. It was preempted by the fact that Jesus Christ is still Lord and Savior. He's still on the throne. God answers prayers, and we were going to celebrate. And I was in awe because I didn't know any of those people, but it didn't take me long to stand and clap and sing those songs just like everybody else. And God does that for all of us. Another thing, stop and think about it. It's when God lifts our burdens. Now, this is the one we like the most. When we have this burden, this overwhelming circumstance, and God lifts us. You know, you've heard about being heavy-hearted. It's okay to be light-hearted, too. Because God every now and then shows up in the form of a check. God shows up every now and then in the form of a clean bill of health. God shows up every now and then with a relationship that's been restored. Things that have been mended, things that have been forgiven. The bitterness is now gone. And it's cool how God does it. He lifts those burdens. I remember a pastor who used to say all the time, live big and love life. Live big and love life. Too many of us live small and dread life. There again, it goes back to the decision. God says we can do awesome things. Let me take you to Psalms 128. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. It is God's will for us to rejoice, for us to be joyful, for us to be happy. It is not God's will for us to be sad. It really isn't. Now, I understand sadness when you have the results of a circumstance. I'm not talking about, oh, that's unfortunate. I'm not talking about that's bad news. I'm talking about choosing to be sad, downtrodden in your heart and in your spirit, ignoring the fact that God says, I died on the cross for you, and I'm here to give you the strength, the courage, and the comfort, and the hope that you need at this moment. It's when we deny that we drift into that kind of sadness. Let me tell you what robs us of our happiness. Sin does. Man, I'm telling you what, sin absolutely robs us of our happiness. There is nothing more miserable than a backslidden Christian. Now, we don't talk about backsliding a whole lot. You don't hear that word. But I'm going to tell you, somebody who has been right there in the middle, knows the joy of God, love of God, has the fellowship with other people, and then they withdraw from that and they go back into a life of sin, there is nothing more miserable. You know why? Because they've seen, they've known, they've experienced the glory and the awesome circumstances it is to be saved, to be redeemed, to know they're going to heaven, and now they've chosen another path. Other things are things like worries. It's amazing how worry can just sap you from your happiness. You can't be happy because you're too busy being worried and anxious and drawn up like crazy, not knowing what's going on. I don't know who measured this, but they said 98% of the things we worry about never happen. And the truth of the matter is, that's pretty much the truth. We fret and we turn and we waller around in the bed and we just worry about this, that, and the other. And most of the time, it never happens. And finances just drive us crazy, doesn't it? When you don't have enough money or whatever. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. Friends, you have to be careful who you surround yourself with and who influences you. Because listen, I would start picking friends that are going to pour into me, lift me up, be a friend instead of a anchor. Can I just say it that way? They're an anchor. Oh my gosh, they're always negative. They always find the bad in something. There's nothing ever any good. Listen, I'm not trying to put those people down. I'm just telling you, you know what? They've made their choice. Well, you have choices too. That doesn't mean you have to disown them. Doesn't mean you have to talk about them. Doesn't mean you have to treat them rudely. But I just wouldn't bank my life on those kind of people. I think I'd find another crowd to hang around, something that would lift me up and somebody will make me happier. The other thing is satanic oppression. Don't we love strong words like that in church? Satanic oppression. Can I just tell you? It all tends to go dark when somebody says something. Satanic oppression. Can I just tell you? Satan is busy. And he wants to sap everything out of you that he can. Here's the cool thing. He has already lost the battle for your soul, but he will continue to fight for your testimony. He will continue to try and take the joy out of your life. He will continue to tell you that it's rough and it's evil out there and you're never going to make it and God has forsaken you, because that's his job. He's very, very good at it. He is the liar. He is the accuser. And the Bible tells us that his roar is a heck of a lot worse than his bite. And we need to stop listening to anything that he says. John 10:10 says that he came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. Well, let me wrap this up with some how-tos. Sometimes it amazes me. Some people just don't know how to be happy. They've been sad so long, they've been downtrodden so long, they don't know how to be happy. So let's just go there just for a second. Number one, let me share this with you. We need to learn to be content in the Lord. Content in the Lord. Not content in our neighbors. Not content in my health. Not content in my job. Not content in what's in my wallet. This isn't about keeping up with the Joneses. But being content in the Lord. Now there again, Paul, remember the guy in prison? He gave us another great opportunity. Look at Philippians, the fourth chapter. He says this, now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. So let's just stop for a second. When was the last time you were content? Listen, I understand people that are just driven. I understand people that are perfectionist. I understand people that always have, you know, this better idea for you. I married her, okay? Debbie always has this list. The other day, she's standing in the kitchen. She goes, I know we'll never do this, but. Oh, this is terrible. I start saying, then why continue? Just stop right there. But you know what? We're allowed to dream. You're allowed to dream. It's okay to dream. It just might happen. But probably with your next husband, not this one. I don't know. I'm just saying, all right? But we don't know how to be content. He says, now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we love to pull that verse of Scripture out and apply it to God needs to make me strong for this circumstance and I need his strength to go through this. But God is saying, listen, if you got two nickels or you got $50,000, be content. Be content. Doesn't change God one bit. Does God care how much money you have? Does God care whether you're hungry or full? Does God care whether you're naked or whatever? I mean, come on, we understand God doesn't want you running around naked. But God is not worried about what you wear. He's worried about you being content. He wants you to be happy because he's put you in that situation that you're in. So what do we do to be happy outside of God? We eat a lot more than we should. We spend a lot. Stop that laughter over there. We spend a whole lot more than we should. We blame others for our circumstances. We're not happy. We ignore the problem. We usually end up trying to entertain ourselves instead of facing the problem. I'll tell you something else we do. We medicate ourselves. As a society, this is what we've done. Outside of God, this is our cure for not knowing how to be content. We're just trying to find this medicated state. But the problem is the result often comes back to the fact that we crumble under the pressure. Because I don't care how medicated you are, you're going to outlive that medication. I don't care how much entertainment you try to involve in yourself, you're going to leave that show. You're going to turn that TV off, on and on and on. And these things are going to follow you. So we need to be content in the Lord. We also need to give our cares to Jesus. Listen, God is not blind to the fact that you have cares. You would rather say it this way, and I understand why. We have problems. We have circumstances. We have troubles. We have some things we got to deal with here. You can't escape it. You can't dismiss it. These are real life things here, Pastor. And I know it's easier said than done, but that doesn't mean it can't be done. That we should give our cares to Jesus. Because in 1 Peter 5:7, it says this, casting all your cares upon Him because He really cares for you. Let me ask you, getting all bummed out and worried about, did it change the economy the last time you were freaked out over your 401k or your bank account or anything like that? No, it didn't change anything. It changed you. It didn't change that. I don't know why I did that, but it felt good. It changed you, but it didn't change that. Stop and think about it. Your money, your marriage, your economy. Now listen, the Bible says, take your cares and cast them on Christ. Why? Because He really cares for you. And I know this is difficult because doesn't it seem irresponsible, Pastor? These are my problems. I guess on Christ? No. Because, you know, here's the deal. It's recognizing His ability and my inability. It's recognizing that God owns the cattle and the gold under the ground that the cattle stand on, the thousand hills. That my God can do anything, and all I can do is worry myself into a ball of fret. And it's not good for anybody. The last thing is decide to rejoice. Obviously, I mean just forcefully, directly, purposely, consciously, just make the decision. We're back to this circumstance. Regardless of the circumstances, to just choose to rejoice. Paul and Silas, they had every right in the world to say, God, we were doing Your work. God, we were living for You. God, we have become missionaries. We left our home and our families to come and evangelize the world. And now I find myself in this prison. How dare You do this to Your servant? But that's not what happened. And the Bible doesn't tell us exactly the emotional state, but it tells us what they were doing. They were praying and singing praise to God. They weren't singing old 70 tunes. They were singing praises to God. Now, a lot of you remember that. Remember that song? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, when we were in kids' church, there you go. You had that little clap at the end of it. Just two little claps. Don't give me any more. Don't do three. All right? You'll break the spirit. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. And at that point in children's church, I'd look at the kids, is that the best you can do? What, did you say faster? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. If you're here for the first time, please come back. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You know where we're going. Hey, you know what? You say, Pastor, that's all good for children's church. I mean, you know, what cares do those kids have? Can I just tell you, it's been a long time, but the last time that your mom and dad, their marriage was threatened, if you think it didn't affect those kids, you're crazy. Last time you had puppy love and she said, I don't think so, you were devastated just like it was a divorce. The last time you left, you lost your grandma, like the kids that I saw just yesterday, they were so busted, so busted. But there was something about that situation where the presence of the Lord just absolutely just overwhelmed everything. And in the midst of tears, they were singing those songs. And it was the coolest thing in the world. I thought, oh God, give us all that heart of a child that we could sing in the midst of great tragedy. God, give us the ability that titles will no longer dictate how we live our lives, but that our future will be determined by a living God who says, I will give you life and life more abundantly. And that our decisions will be based on what His Word says and not anything else. And that we could be happy. We could, yes, be blessed of God. That's where we want to go with that. Amen? I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. Songs are not for the opportunity to escape the moment. That's what you do when you go to a concert. They are not for the opportunity for us to forget and put those things in somewhere else. It's for the opportunity to draw us even closer to the Lord. I'm telling you, as ridiculous as it would be so much fun, but we would lose the moment if we were truly sing that song the way we did in children's church. Because the energy would be high. We would be focusing on just how funny this was and how awkward it was, and because we haven't clapped like that in a long time. We haven't sang that song in a long time. But you know what it would do? And it did for a lot of you just for a few moments. It took you back to what? It took you back to this place, this foundational place in life where you were easily drawn away from the troubles of this life, and you were happy because you were back focused on the provider of life. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, in me I have life, and I'm going to give you that life more abundantly. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray, come and give us life today. Father, I pray for everyone here who is troubled. Father, who is overwhelmed with circumstances. Their bodies really, in many ways, didn't even want to be here today. But our focus, our decision is to be happy in you, knowing, Lord God, that you will provide all of our needs, that you will take care of us. Lord, if there's anyone here today and they find themselves distant from God, they hear all of these things and there's something that just draws them closer to you, I pray that they will invite you into their life. I pray, Father, once again, we will absolutely invite you to come and be the focus of our life, because then we will truly be blessed. We won't be happy because this was a decent sermon or we sang some decent songs. We won't be happy because we clocked in at church.